Have a word of prayer. Our gracious eternal Father, we are so grateful to be again in your presence. We read in your word that at the evening time they came unto you with all manner of sicknesses and diseases. You healed them and they all went back home with joy. We pray may this be our portion tonight in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, we have been laboring since the day began for this service. And you told us that we'll receive as much as we put into the service. Lord, we pray, may you bless us today with abundance of your blessings in Jesus' name. Give us more revelation. Give us more blessings. Let us have more breakthroughs. And Lord, let our coffers be full with your blessings in the name of Jesus Christ. By the end of today's service, may there be no feeble one left again in our midst. Grant it, Father, in Jesus Christ's name we've prayed. Praise the Lord. God bless you. You are welcome to the house of the Lord once again. Without taking much of our time, let's turn our Bibles to the book of James. Chapter 2. The book of James, chapter 2. I'll read only verse 21. James 2, 21. If you are not there, it's on the screen. Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he had offered Isaac, his son, upon the altar? May the Lord add blessings to the reading of his holy word. Amen. You can please be seated. I welcome you once again to the house of the Lord. We appreciate you. Because we won't like to preach to the empty benches. Amen? Amen. And so thank you for coming to church. May God bless you. Amen. And reward your labor of love. Amen. This evening we are looking at a sermon titled by the prophet. I just want to use it. There are two or three of it. In fact, your faith is justified by the works. Amen. So when you read that, where we have just read now, if you contrast it, let me just use the word of the prophet. If you look at the sermon preached, faith without works is dead. 150822, paragraph 16. What we've read, if you contrast it to Romans 4, it looks like there is a contradiction. Because he's saying Abraham was justified by work. Whereas Paul was saying Abraham, the same Abraham, was justified by faith. So, and we know the Bible is not contradictory. All we need is revelation. Praise the Lord. So, I read this quickly because we have a really short time. Paragraph 16 that we're reading, maybe can you move it up a bit, please? Again. Yeah. And now that in saying, you let God tell you what to do. See? No, that's not where I want to read. Let's move it up a bit. Paragraph 17, further down. 18, the last part of 18. Yes. You know, you've heard people say that the scripture contradicts itself. It does not. Amen. How many believe that? The prophets say the scripture does not. Sometimes it might look like that, but it doesn't. You only need the eyes of revelation. He said, for 10 years, there was a challenge laid on my pulpit to any person who could show a contradiction in God's word that could not be straightened by the word of God. It's not so. All the scripture is mingled up. That's right. It is all broke up and placed there. And that's the reason seminaries, theological schools will never be able to know it. It is hid from the eyes of the wise and the prudent, and will be revealed to babes such as will learn. Yeah. So let's jump quickly to paragraph 22. A further explanation on what seems like a contradiction. 22. Now, the first thing, it looks like Paul was speaking in Romans, the fourth chapter, justifying Abraham by faith. And James is justifying by works. But it does not contradict. Paul was speaking of what God saw in Abraham, and James was speaking what man saw in Abraham. Praise the Lord. So, human being cannot see your faith. Amen. The only thing we can see is the work. The work is the expression of your faith. Amen. And that's why if you believe that God can save you and He can meet your needs, then you go ahead and pray. Because you believe. That's why you are praying. And that's why you are doing what God says you should do. Because you know there is a reward for that. So we will see that and say, oh, you are a churchgoer. Or you are a Christian. Or you are a believer in God. Not because we can see inside you, but we can see the fruits. Amen. Amen. So when James was talking, he was talking like a man. And he was referring straight to Genesis 22. At which point God told Abraham that now take your only son, thy only son, and go and sacrifice him. And that's what people saw. But when God called the same Abraham in Genesis 12, nobody was there. In fact, they thought he was a madman. Because he was going somewhere he doesn't even know. And then some God that is not the God they are used to has called him. Praise the Lord. So what people were saying was some madman or somebody out of range. But God at that point has seen that this man had faith in him. Amen. Amen. And God turned around, I think Genesis 16 or so, and promised him that of your seed you shall bring forth a child. Because God saw faith in Abraham. At that time, God had already justified him. Amen. Amen. But the manifestation came years later. After 25 years, human being began to see what God has seen perhaps even before the foundation of the world. Praise the Lord. Let's get through with this reading. Paul was speaking of what God saw in Abraham in Genesis 6, when he told him that he was going to have a child by Sarah. And Abraham believed God, because he believed. When God told him something, he believed and he went into action. And that belief what God saw, and God had confidence. And that's why God himself came down in Genesis 18 and manifested himself, full body. Praise the Lord. And that's why we know that God has again appeared to us now in every detail except his corporal body. Hallelujah. That's why we have the gifts of the Messiah. But the Messiah himself is not here. But he borrowed a body. Amen. And that's why we don't believe Abraham is God. He's not a God. Amen. Like Jesus Christ. No, he's a man like all of us. And he receives special grace. A sinner saved by grace like every one of us. Hallelujah. But with a special ministry. And we cannot discountenance the ministry. And there's no other one like him. Praise the Lord. Because there's one of that for every age. That's scriptural. Praise the Lord. Amen. And then James speaking was speaking of what man saw in Genesis 22 when Abraham offered up Isaac. See, what faith is. What faith you have, that's what God sees. That's why the Bible says God cannot be mocked. If you are praying for something, if you truly have faith, you will receive it. Amen. But if you are doubting, you need to work on your faith. Amen. See, what faith you have, that's what God sees. But what your work is, that's what your neighbor sees. Show me your works by your faith. Without your faith, I will show you my works by my faith. Notice, I believe that this audience here have faith. Amen. Am I right to believe that? Praise the Lord. I believe that. But I believe you are afraid to turn it loose. You are caging your faith. That's what the prophet is saying. And I identify with the prophet today. You are not letting the faith work. You are too cowardly. If I may put it like that. You are afraid to launch out. Please launch out. There is room. Amen. But I believe you are afraid to turn it loose on works. I believe that if you will just let loose your faith tonight, we won't need to pray for any sick. Everybody will be on their feet. Hallelujah. I believe that. Because God is here. Amen. So, if you say you have faith, let's see the works. Let's see the action. Take some steps of faith. Amen. Brother Abraham told us of a cripple who was coming to the meetings. So when he was, you know, the cripple, they roll on his skates. They just be walking with their hand, you know. And on his neck, he had the sneakers. And somebody met him. Oga, what are you doing with the sneakers now? He said, I'm going to the meeting of William Branham. I will need it when I'm coming back. That is work expressing faith. Because he has no single iota of doubt that he will return a cripple. He believes he will return with his full leg and he will need the shoes. Hallelujah. That's an example of work expressing faith. Amen. I want to relate a simple story. It's by the prophet himself. It will just express what I'm talking about. Still on this sermon. If we can go to that paragraph 8. So that I can read it from there. So, because we have a very limited time. So let's follow through. All the message I want to pass is in this story this evening. May the Lord bless it. Amen. And give us further revelation. Amen. One time, I thought it wasn't right to receive a present someone gave you. Brother Sharit, a man corrected me on that. Are we together? Amen. You know, the prophet was trying to reject a gift. You know? So he said, why am I you? Maybe I even have more than you. I should not come. And you know, Bible told us it's more blessed to give than to receive. So if you deny them, then the blessings they should have, they won't have it. So this is their revelation. So he said, Brother Abraham, I hate to correct you on anything. But said, you are mistaken here, dear. He said, you've caused those people by not receiving their present, you caused them to lose their reward. Are we together? Amen. So if you bring your offering or tithe, you think you are giving it to pastor. Let me tell you, you are following the instruction of God. And God is obligated to bless you in return. Amen. He said, it is more blessed to give than it is to receive. Then he told me of his story. So we are interested in the story tonight. I just believe I tell this right now. It just come to my mind for a moment. John B. Sharit from Phoenix, Arizona. One of the business managers of this campaign. Many of you has met him. Know that he's talking to his audience then. If anybody here will happen to know Brother Sharit or anybody, John Sharit, Phoenix, Arizona. Well, he's a product of God's Bible School in Cincinnati, Ohio. The dean of the college was, maybe we should just jump. Okay, paragraph 9. Let's move up. And so, Brother Sharit, he was born kind of a fellow that didn't have very much of this world's good. You know, I told you in the morning, your condition is irrelevant. If you have faith, you will do what you have to do. He said he was born of a kind of fellow that don't have much of this world's good. That means he was born poor, in straight speech. His father was a very poor man, and he was very rowdy. And he left his mother, and John Sharit, about 15 years ago, was selling apples at a nickel apiece in front of him like this, like, you know, apple, you know, carry like on the road, you know. Those boys that sell apples and things on the road, you know, couldn't have a cart to take care of his mother. He has to carry it in his hands. He can't afford to buy a wheelbarrow, for instance. And first, he was born poor. Second, the father left the mother. Situation becoming more complicated. And then, he had an impediment of speech. That means he's a stammerer. And he's going to sell apples. Before we call the apples, the buyer is gone. You know, circumstance. So, he couldn't talk at all. That impediment was serious. You know, some people stutter. They can still talk, but they do it slowly. This one, he can't bring the word out. And yet, he has to sell. Or else, hunger will kill them. If you go to talking, just try again. And like he was going to say, good evening, he will say, good. Then you wait for a while. If, you know, that kind of stuff. You know, and that's about the way he tried to get. It's awful bad. Well, but he began to seek the Lord when he was a boy. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, I told you young ones, it is a great privilege that you are born by Christian parents. See this. The boy had a lot of challenges, but something has begun to work in his favor. He began to seek God when he was young. You were already born into God. Make use of it. Amen. Amen. Take full advantage of that. And all the boys were running out to different places with young ladies. You know, this boy, all the challenges he had, he knew that the only solution provider for any problem is God. And thank God, he directed his attention to the right place. So while his colleagues and mates were running around with girls, he said, Lord, I'm going to trust you. Are we together? Yes. When you go to school, I tell my boys, I said, girls will approach you. When we were in school, they approached us. It was ages ago. So now, the age is even worse. So they are going to approach you. Don't feel like some super boy. It is the devil after you. Don't accept it. Hallelujah. Amen. When the time for you to marry come, we follow the procedure. Amen. The word of God did not say a lady should shoot her shot. We read in the morning, the man proposes, the lady accepts. We stand by that. Hallelujah. Amen. So, the social media, if they've been telling you to shoot your shot, it is of the devil. Don't follow them. They are in their own world. You belong to another kingdom. And we must follow the rule of our kingdom. Hallelujah. What works for them cannot work for us. Because we are not serving the same God. Hallelujah. Don't forget, the Philistines, when they took the Ark of Covenant, and the thing was punishing them, their diviner said, put it on a new cart. And they did. And it worked for them. But David did the same. Perez died for it. Because our God don't accept nonsense. Denominational God can accept what they, because they are who they are. But we are called to higher calling. And the expectation is higher. So when much is given, much is required. Hallelujah. And it's not for nothing. We are going to a better heaven. Amen. So don't join them to shoot their shots. And it is not allowed for a believer to marry an unbeliever. It doesn't matter whether he professes love or whether he's the kindest person you have met, whether he behaves better than brothers, it is irrelevant. As long as he's an unbeliever, he is not fit for you. Amen. Hallelujah. Because the sheep is always attractive to a wolf. So if you don't know that, you think he loves you. He doesn't love you. Hallelujah. Oh, and the same thing with the boys. Don't let your resources become that of unbelievers, because they are manipulators. Your mind is pure, but theirs is not. If you give your love to a strange woman, it is sorry for you. Praise the Lord. It shouldn't happen. Amen. Let's be careful. So he said, I'm just going to trust you. Telling God that. It will be awful out trying to talk to young ladies anyway. Before you see one girl, before we even greet her, she's gone. Because he can't talk. So it's better for him to trust God. Hallelujah. But I want to be married and have children. He have a good desire. God said, if your desire is right, it's not contrary to the word. He said, if you pray, God will answer you. Amen. If you, what is the purpose of your prayer? If it's not contradictory, God will do it. Amen. And so he prayed to God, I want to be married. I want to have children. And yet I'm poor. I cannot talk. And all these things. You see? And I'm going to serve you. How many are going to serve God tonight? Hello? I know, because you have been serving him. Amen. And you give me a wife. That was his prayer. Let's note that prayer. He said, God, I want to have children. I want to have a wife. And I want to serve you. And he committed it to the Lord. Age of about 25. If he could have passed. Now, God began to answer the prayers. That's why I told you in the morning that where you are today is the answer to your previous prayers. Don't lose sight of that. That's why the song said, count your blessings. Name them one by one, and it will surprise you what God has done. Oftentimes, because of the challenges we face every day, we don't even realize that God has been doing things in our lives. So sometimes, take time, count those blessings and appreciate the Lord. Amen. So John Sharit made those requests, and then the answers began to come. The prophet now came and said, if we could have passed every woman by in the world, he couldn't have had a better one than what he has got. Are we together? A man who couldn't talk, poor and everything, but God gave him the very best. He said even if he had chance to see all the women in the world, he couldn't have picked this one that God gave him. Are we together? Yeah. Amen. He said, he couldn't have a better one than what is God. God gave him a lovely Spaniard. But one great thing, he loved children so well. What does that mean? That means she's barren. Are we together? You know, this life, I told you, the challenges are to bring something better out of you. You see, all your problems, God can solve it at once. But if he did, where will you have the character? Even you may not have the behavior to undo them. And that's why we have to go through all this, you know, refining like a gold. You know, trials that are sometimes like fury. Yes, it's because of the love of God. Not because he hates you. He knew who you are and what he has made in you. He knew you can come out right. Amen. You know, when God told Satan, Have you considered my servant Job? God knew that Job will pass. And so he knew you will pass this test. You better march on. Because I see you as a victor at the end of the tunnel. Hallelujah. And so God knew that you will pass. So it's just an opportunity for you to have promotion. A trial, see it today as a step to promotion. Amen. He said, but one great thing, he loved children. She was barren. He was married for many, many years, 6, 7, 8, 10 years, no children. And yet he told God, I want to marry, I want to have children, and I want to serve you. That was his prayer. I don't know your prayer tonight, but let me assure you, God can answer them. Amen. Amen. Let's go back to the other part of life. He was poor. He used to cut concrete on the streets. You know, those quarry people, I'm sure Ibadan, we are familiar with a lot of rocks here. When you see gravel trailers, today some of them are mechanized. You know, you put it through quarry, you know. But in those days, somebody would take sledgehammer and be breaking. Do you know? I mean, just imagine it. That's what John Sharit used to do. Break concrete, turn them to gravel, and then sell. He cut concrete on the street. 25 cents an hour to make a living. It's like 20, not in exchange rate, but 25 kobo. So it's not up to 1 naira per hour. You know how long it will take to make 1 naira? 4 hours. And maybe we work 12 hours. That means in a day, he can make $3. If you work 12 hours non-stop, breaking concrete, not sitting in the office, oh, aha, yet he's a child of God. But his situation cannot remain like that. And that is where I stand on. You can start poor, but you may not end like that. Because we are serving a progressive God. There is time and season. Amen. So, make a living. And they saved. Despite that, this man, he knew where he was going. And he's going there. Many of us, when we see the challenge of the journey, we kind of run back. This evening, I'm asking, don't run back. Continue the journey. Because your destination, you will arrive there. Amen. Don't run back. Because you are meant for that destination. And they are waiting for you there. And they saved their money. And they bought a little 3-room house. Despite everything, do you know how long it takes to save? I think the prophet said they bought this house around $1,500. For them to save $3 a day, eat in it, and save $1,500, it will take years, if not decades. Praise the Lord. But you see, I like somebody who knows where he's going. It's better. Whether you are glowing, you know, the prophet even said, he said, by all means, never be stationary. If you are not flying, make sure you are running. If you are not running, at least be walking. And if you cannot walk, be crawling. But don't stand still. Amen. Whether in spiritual or physical life, there must be progress. Every daily walk with God must be progressive. You must check. Oh, what have I done today? Where am I? Am I better than where I was yesterday? It's a constant daily affair. Hallelujah. And so, I think it cost them about $1,500 back in the time of the Depression. Economy at that time wasn't the situation. It was depression. So things were extra hard. And they paid and paid and paid. You can imagine now, $3 every day to $1,500. They will pay and pay and pay and strive and paid until they paid all of it off. It's two of them now, husband and wife. The wife is not saying this is a an unsuccessful husband. You know, some wives, I hope they are not here. All they contribute to the family affair is insult to the husband. That's not right. You got to encourage him. Hallelujah. Because you are together in that boat. Whether you like it or not. His failure is your failure. And his success is your success. However you see it. And so he's using they now because two of them, they do it together. Because if they have to maybe miss a meal, they miss it together. And I'm sure John Charit is not a man that will go and eat at the buka and return home and say there is no money. It's not that kind of man. If you are like that, yeah, you need to repent. Hallelujah. Whereas you will be feeding fat outside, your family are fasting at home. That's a wrong kind of father. You should put your family first. They should be the one begging you to eat. That's the way it should be. Because you are the burden bearer. You are the head. Amen. Hallelujah. I hope I'm not hurting anyone. Praise the Lord. Amen. But just about the time they got it all paid off, they had a revival in Phoenix. You know, they just paid it off. They are supposed to be real. At least no gbese to pay again. We can focus on something else. A revival prop up. And there was a man by the name Dr. Sutton. Don't know whether you know him or not. He was by Bass, a Canadian. A full gospel preacher. Came down there to Phoenix. And he was staying in a tourist camp. And the Lord appeared to Brother Charit one night in a dream. You wonder, where is the Lord in all this confusion? When he was breaking bread, where is God? He's always by you. You just don't know it. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you until the end of the ages. Many times you make decisions and you think they were your decision. They were not your decision. Because it's the guiding hand. Let's always appreciate and be sensitive to the presence of God around us. Hallelujah. He said, and the Lord appeared to Brother Sharon one night in a dream. He said to him, take your silverware and your clothes and your wife and leave your home and turn that over to Brother Sutton. Are we together? What is he taking? Plates. That's silverware. Plate and pot and clothes. That means the chair, table, everything is left there. Are we together? And your wife. And leave this house and turn it over to Brother Sutton. You know, this kind of remind me of Abraham. God did not talk to a sister. God spoke to the husband. But the sister was represented in the vision of the husband. We didn't read here that the sister protested. Think of it. After about 10 years of hard labor in the depression, saving and striving, and the Lord told him, turn that place over to Dr. Sutton, which was a well-known minister. That means the minister is not poor. Hey, hallelujah. This God is a God of wonder. But I told you before that when God allows trials on your path, he wants to promote you. That's all in the picture, if only you can see it. Amen. And Brother Charit said, all right, Lord. No kicking. You know? Hallelujah. Went to his little companion, said, honey, the Lord has spoken to me and told me to turn our house over just to take our silverware and our clothes and turn the house over to Dr. Sutton. When he went and told her, she said, all right there. Sisters, she said, all right there. Can you say that? Won't you wonder, hey, whether the devil has entered your husband? You know, that's a critical moment, bro. Because you wonder whether the devil is talking to him now. And brethren, it makes logical sense. Because this is after they have paid all their debts. It's the devil of debtor that will not let him be free. But the sister did not say that. She said, all right, there. Amen. Do you see the reason why you must marry only believers? Imagine if that is an unbeliever. In short, something will happen in the house that night. Maybe we lock him out. You know, abroad, he can just lock the husband out and call police. And that's the end of him seeing that house. But she said, all right there. She believed in her husband. And said, if the Lord said for you to do that, God has got something else for us to do. Hallelujah. Because redemption is always in two parts. When God brings you out, he must take you inside. We must have that revelation. Hallelujah. If God is saying, get out of this house, God is not wicked. He's not the author of confusion or author of frustration. So if he's saying, he's seeing your challenges, he's aware. All he needs is a right mental attitude. Are we together? Amen. Praise the Lord. So he turned all he had now, and he didn't have no place to take his wife that night. Can you imagine the urgency of obeying the word of God? Brethren, where are we on this radar? Where are we? I think it's a personal question. When God says, do this, how quickly are you able to do that? We are saying clear-cut decision. Totally sold out to God. This is a practical application. And he didn't have no place to take his wife that night. And they found the tourist camp that cost 75 cents. That means he makes 25 cents an hour. 3 hours job every day to pay. When somebody that owns a house. But he's not even thinking about it. And they found the tourist camp that cost 75 cents. And they stayed in the tourist camp that night. And making 25 cents an hour. That's it, the job he's doing. Cutting concrete on the street. That's right. Working daily. He's a great big man. Weighs about 225 pounds. You know, he has that power. You know, we have many big men with nothing in them today. We see them on the street begging. And you wonder, what's wrong with this one? You see, we're not about them today. About a week later, you know, he obeyed God. God is in the picture all the time. Because he doesn't leave his children alone. Maybe you should hear it again. If you're a child of God, he will not leave you alone. So it's better you start listening to him. It's better for you. Praise the Lord. About a week later, some rich lady told him that she would move some of her things back in her garage. You know, garage is where they park car. You know, that maybe the garage is full of some junk, you know. She said, okay, I will clear my garage. If he wanted to live in a garage up towards the Camelback Mountain, you know where that place is, kind of a big old aristocratic part of the country. So a rich woman came, say maybe I seen him, you know. God is still God doing his business. Just leave God alone. He knows what he's doing. God will appoint the attention. Look at that man now. He will be nice in your house. And then she approached him. Said, if you want to live there, I clear the place, you can live there. Kind of a big old aristocratic part of the country. He said, if you keep my yard, the job is, you live here free, but keep my yard trimmed of an evening when you come in. And keep the grass watered and so forth. That's a condition. Help me clean my garden. And live there free. Some of us, we live in people's houses. What do we do? Time for prayer, you don't come out. Wash plate, you no do. What are you there for? You at least, you know, Christians, we don't take things, we don't like free things. If free things come across your path, do something in return. Praise the Lord! Especially young sisters are living somewhere, they still have to call you to, I mean, it's a disgrace. If there's nobody to tell you, I better tell you. Hallelujah. You should be up and doing. Let the people know that a Christian is living in their house. Amen. Let's continue. You can live in my garage free. He moved up there without one thing. He got some boxes, got him a spring, and laid on the floor. Don't forget, it's a married man. So everything he's doing is two people. And laid on the floor, got a mattress, put on him and his wife, they slept there. Brother Sutton said, brother, that minister, when he saw the trouble that this man is going through, he came back to him and said, brother Sharit, I don't. He said, you know, he wanted to tell brother Sharit that, please, go to your house. Brother Sharit cannot. He said, the Lord has said for me to do that. That's all right. You know, it's not even, you know, maybe I be, is it the devil or am I sure? Just like Abraham, Genesis 22. Take your only son. Go and sacrifice him in one of the mountains. No story. It's clear cut. Hey, amen. And he went on. It was that way about a year. So if I say, oh, it's taking too long. Oh, when will God answer me? Ah, he has answered you. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. It's just you just waiting for manifestation. Lived a good Christian life. He lived in that place for 1 year. And what did he do? Christian testimony, no blemish. All that he's supposed to do, he did them. Clean the grass, cut it, water it, break his concrete, the wife the same. The wife did not fight with the landlord or landlady. No trouble. Oh, my water here, this one there. That's not the life of a Christian. Because we are too focused on our goal to be minding little nonsense. Amen. And so, and finally, the lady that he lived with was a multi-millionaire woman. You know, for her to be living in the aristocratic area. She's a multi-millionaire, not 1 million, many. And she's seen his honesty. Of course, they look at you. Whether you like it or not. That's why it's better to say I am a Christian. Because they will know. They will say, she be your papa and a pastor. Why do they behave like this? If you misbehave, they will tell you. Look, I have a personal experience in Lagos. Ikoyi. I'm not living there. I'll drive past the place. So there was an intersection. So as I was approaching that intersection, I said, I'm not going to stop for anybody. I made up my mind. I'm not going to stop for anybody. I will go straight. As soon as I got there, one Land Cruiser came. He reached me where he said, oh, gosh, maybe you are pastor. Ah, I said, now, wow. I look at him again. I slow down. I don't know this man. He said, you are a pastor. I know. I said, see something. Whether you like it or not, they know who you are. So I'm advising you, kuku declare it openly. Because even if you try to hide, they will just use it to embarrass you. Because they will soon know. They will say, she'll be in that church. You go. You think they don't know? They do. Hallelujah. And she's seen his honesty. He was a Christian just like a Daniel down in Babylon. That's the way we are. We are in the world, but not of the world. She went up to him one day. She said, John, he said, you know what? The Lord spoke to me. The Lord came down to a multi-millionaire. That's not the interest of God. The interest of God is the John. But he will use donkey if he needs to. Yeah, he did it. Praise the Lord. Anybody God need to move to talk to you, he will use them. Everybody is a tool in God's hand. Hallelujah. For his children, nothing is too much for God to do. That's why I'm saying the issue of the Holy Ghost is not a big deal. Hallelujah. Why will it be a big deal? It can't be. Amen. God that did not spare his only begotten son. He gave him up for all of us. Why is it Holy Ghost that will not now give us? I'm sure he will give us freely. We read it in the Bible. He said, how much more will he give Holy Ghost to them that ask him? Hallelujah. Say, the woman said, the Lord spoke to me last night in a dream. She was unequivocal. She knew that God spoke to her. And what did God say? He said, and told me that I shall loan you $10,000 to go in business. Somebody who makes how much every day? $3 every day. He's now seeing $10,000. He will first of all go bonkers. What is this? He has never seen such money before. I'm telling you, it's true. That's why some of these Yahoo boys, when they hit big money, they go mad. Because money has its own spirit. If you are not mature enough to undo it, it will make you misbehave. Praise the Lord. That's why you see them, they go and buy champagne, 1 million, and pour it to the ground. Is it not madness? Is the money doing things in them? Because they don't have the character to contain such a wealth. Hallelujah. For every level, there is a required character and psychology. They don't have it. So they misbehave. Praise the Lord. So, why? He said, he couldn't talk. Don't forget though. That problem has not been solved. All the problem, poverty, impediment of speech, marriage, children. The only one solved so far is marriage. All the others are still hanging there. And we have counted over a decade now. He couldn't talk. She said, lady, I can't even talk. I'll never make a businessman. That's his own estimation of himself. But that's not what God said about him. This evening, I will advise you to believe God's statement about you. Not your own thoughts about yourself. Your thought, if it's contrary, is error. Throw it away. Hallelujah. John Sharit said, I can't make a good businessman. God don't say so. We will know after now. So, she said, but the Lord told me to do it. And here is your check. And she left. Because, just like John Sharit, God told him to hand over the house. He did. And he left. The woman also, God told her, give him 10,000. And she did. And like, I don't know what you do with it. That's your problem. But God told me, and I've done. You too, when God tells you, do. Hallelujah. What happened next? Whether they believe, they know it's not your business. Just do what God told you to do. Amen. And he said, well, I can't take it. See, said, I don't want $10,000 laying on my... So she said, but the Lord said for me to give it to you. So you now, that means go and complain to God. Because God said, give you, and I've given you your complaint. Go back to him. I notice you've been, see the testimony. By their fruits, you will know them. He said, I notice you've been a good, honest man. Seen you reading the Bible. I got me a Bible and was reading too. Are we together? She noticed, this man used to read Bible. Maybe it's the Bible that makes him honest. She wants to buy Bible too. She wants, everybody desire a good Christian life. Let me tell you the truth. Everybody wants a Christian to be their neighbor. They want a Christian to be their employee. Because they know you behave right. It's a Christianity is a worthy life. It's a life desired by all and sundry. Don't be ashamed of your calling. Hallelujah. Say, I got me a Bible and was reading. And the Lord told me to give you the check. Loan it to you for $10,000 to go in business. She explained further. I've been reading Bible like you because I saw you reading. Copying you. Because I see that what you are doing is producing good results. And I want good results too. So I did it. Amen. That's what our children do. They are copycats. They see you do something, they do it too. So you, make sure you live a worthy Christian life before them. Because they are most likely to behave the way you behave. If care is not taken. And you're going to give account. May the Lord help us. Amen. Responsibility of parents is another topic entirely. So he took the check. He didn't know what to do. He went on. He continued his brick breaking. You know, he got $10,000 there. But he didn't know what to do. So the 10,000 was lying lazily there. He continued. The 10,000 can solve his problem. But he didn't know how to use it. You know, We need wisdom from above. Hallelujah. Because you might have a gift and yet you are suffering. Because you don't know how to connect the suffering to the gift to produce a result. That's why we have a lot of difference in the world today. Because some understand something, others don't. That's why we have the disparity. If everybody knew how to make money, nobody would be poor. But some people don't know. And some people can't even dare. They are too scared, they can't try it. That's why we have it. And the world will continue to be like that. You know, Jesus said, the poor you will always have. Hallelujah. But we know that God, it will improve our portion. Amen. And so, he went on. And one evening, God that is in the business, he has not stopped. Hallelujah. In your matter, it won't stop. Amen. And one evening, he was walking up and seen a little old 5-room house for sale for $2,000. It's got 10. Are we together? That means you can buy that house 5 times over. Mm-hmm. So he told the woman, I am not cut out for business. Is it not? That's his own assessment of himself. But that's not what God saw. God knew him right before the foundation of the world. God knew what he put in him. Amen. And even you, God knew what he put in you. That's why you keep having that thing. Let me do this thing. You say, no, I can't do it. You don't know anything. I ask you to yield to the Spirit. Amen. Amen. So, he went. The time is not on our side at all. He went down there and cashed the check. And bought it for $2,000. I went down there, him and his wife. And began to knock the plastering of the place. Just to say that he's trying to remodel the place. Him and his wife. Are we together? They are together in this. Amen. You know, we still do the work. Replastered it at night. Him and the wife working together. And he plastered up the house. Fixed the ground. Put a sales sign up on it. He says he's not a businessman. And if they had got 3,000, they would have made money. You know, they bought it 2,000. So if they sold it for 3,000, they made money already. And he sold it for 6,000. Are we together? He got it for 2,000, sold it for 6,000. They made profit 4,000 plus their sweat. Don't forget, they work hard. Oh, he didn't just drop. Oh, you know, hallelujah. Today, John Sharit is worth $500,000 from 3 cents a day or so. So $500,000. Are we together? That has been about 6 or 7 years ago since he started. What's $500,000? He's the father of 3 fine little children. Does God answer prayer? Does he answer it quickly? Sometimes. Sometimes he answers it quickly. But oftentimes, it takes time. Just like we've seen. The boy, the fellow now, poverty solved, marriage solved, wife solved, serving the Lord solved. There's still one more. The impediment of speech. He said, Brother Brown, what if Dr. Sutton wouldn't have taken what God told me to do? See, what would have been? If he had not given that house, that's what he was saying. Where would I have been? He would still be breaking concrete. You see that? And now, he stood there and said, Lord, I think I need to jump. Paragraph 15. So that the time is up against me. Okay, let's just read it. He said, I stood there, I said, Lord, whenever I see your program, he had so much money. He said, he owns orange groves, You know, you are not appreciating $500 today, because we hear in Nigeria, $1 million, billion, everything we hear. Do you know what it takes to have $1 million? Even now. You know that $500,000 there, it will be worth maybe $1 billion today. You know, because it's a whole lot of money. See all he owns. Ranch houses, he owns the big Thunderbird Ranch there. One of the greatest there is in Arizona. And he said, all these things, he said, I've got more money that I know what to do with it. That means he has more money than he needs. Praise the Lord. That means the issue of poverty permanently solved. He has money that he don't even know what to do with it. So he'll be begging banks, invest this money here. That's what people like that, they don't know what to do. He'll just be giving finance houses to everybody until he can think of what to do. The money is coming more than he needs them. God is still in that business today. How many will yield to him? Hallelujah. And God give him five little girl, then a little boy, then a little girl. That's the reason he isn't with us tonight. The little baby is just recently born. His wife has been barren for all these years, and now she's bearing children. What a happy family. Hallelujah. And he said, when I come to phone, he said, went up to the meeting one night. He said, Lord, isn't that where you was talking about? And then he said, come to me. He said, Brother Abraham, you don't owe me a penny. But if I can pass your hat or bring your coat, I want to be in the campaign. It's offering service. If I can just be carrying your suit behind, that's all. I just want to be in this. That's a rich man. Oh. Hallelujah. Listen now. And I had prayer for him. And God restored the speech back. Hallelujah. All the problems solved. In short, Brother Bram somewhere said he owned half of Phoenix. Like somebody owned half of your state. He said, if you want to write John Sharit, it's there. Time is not my side. He said, just say John Sharit, Phoenix, Arizona. I said, we get the letter. You don't need to write any address. Once they see John Sharit there, phone, he will say, we get the letter. Don't try it. If you write Brother Femi Adeleye in Lagos, Nigeria, your letter will be lost. But we are still trusting God for that. So, hallelujah. So, faith without work is dead. There must be an expression of that faith. You must demonstrate. God has seen your faith, but you must go into action. Hallelujah. Because without that action, all else is nothing. Are we together? Assuming Abraham did not take that Isaac that day, we won't be here today talking about him. Even though we say, God see my heart, I have faith. Yes, he saw it, but it must be demonstrated. May the Lord help us. As we enter this new week, let's know that all things are possible. If only we can believe. Let's rise up. Let's talk to God. God, let's commit ourselves in new surrender. If you surrender yourself to God, he will meet all your needs. Amen. Talk to him. God, I want to be more dedicated. I want to follow and do your word. I want to see results too. And I want my life to glorify you. Talk to him. Don't stop this prayer here. Let it continue at home. have a one-on-one with God. God, in he that created air, does he not have? He can hear you. He can direct your path. He can lead you. Talk to him. We have wandered far away. We are tired of that. We want to be in the center of his will. In Jesus' name we pray. Our rock of ages. Every day, new mercies we see. We know that you are there. We know that you are real. And we know that your hand is not short and you can deliver us. But Lord, the problem has always been us. But tonight we come just as we are. Nothing in our hand we bring. May you cleanse us. May you purify us. Purge away our iniquities, Lord. And fill us with your spirit. You told us that you put a new spirit in us. You give us a comforter so that we can be your true witnesses. Father, we want to go out of here being your true witnesses. We want to represent you correctly in our schools, in our work, in our neighborhoods, even in the church. Lord, may you help us in the name of Jesus Christ. And Lord, we are your sons, we are your daughters, and we have privileges and benefits and rights. Lord, we want to explore them. We want to live a full privileged life henceforth in the name of Jesus Christ. Everything that has been holding us bound, because we have that authority, we break them in the name of Jesus Christ. You told us that you are the one that made the blacksmith and the waster to destroy. But you told us that any weapon fashioned against us shall not prosper. Father, every weapon of the ungodly that have been rotting and working against any of us, today I cancel them in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, may they never rise against your children anymore. You told us that the enemy, when he comes against us once, you say he shall flee 7 times. Lord, may they begin to see the back of their enemies in the name of Jesus Christ. All I pray for these ones that may they go from glory unto glory. May they go from strength unto strength, from blessing to miracles, O God. Let it be their testimony and portion spot in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, may you become more real in all aspects of our lives tonight in Jesus' name. Whatever be the aspect of prayer, they are looking up unto you now. May they be granted in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, may we go out here feeling the infilling of the Holy Ghost in Jesus' name. May our life be a testimony to these great truths, Lord. Thank you because you have done it. We glorify your name, Father. In Jesus Christ's name we've prayed. Praise the Lord. God bless you. Thank you for listening.
Thank you, Pastor. God bless you.
Praise the Lord. So God willing, if we are see here, the rapture has not taken place. By Tuesday, don't forget the naming. By 2 o'clock, that was announced in this compound here. So you are cordially invited. That is why the announcement was made openly to you. And by Wednesday, we'll be having a midweek meeting. I want to appreciate our brother, Brother Femi. God bless you. For coming to minister to us, I will request that as he travel back whenever, that he carry our greetings to his family, to the church, to the pastor in his church, and the older one, and everybody. Amen. Let us see hymn number 222 as we dismiss. Name of Jesus with you, child of sorrow and of woe, it will joy I comfort give you, take it wherever you go, precious name. Oh, I see. Oh, perfect joy of heaven, precious name. Oh, I see. Oh, perfect joy of heaven. Name of Jesus heaven has a sheep from every stand. It is a sure of you God breathe holy name in prayer. Precious name, precious name, oh sweet, oh perfect joy of heaven, oh the precious name of Jesus, how he treats us so sweet joy. Love he has received us, and his source at us employ. Precious name, who loves me, who of heart and joy of heaven. Precious name, who loves me. Oh, perfect joy of heaven, and the name of Jesus bow. For we must return to
oh,